We are joined for this part of the episode by Lane Riggs. Lane, first off, man, welcome. And I have to ask, Durham County, North Carolina, March 3rd is Lane Riggs Day. So I'm going to start with a fun question. And how did Lane Riggs Day become a thing?
Yeah, it was pretty cool after our national championship run in 2022. Got a lot of recognition in the area. And I think somebody pulled some strings somewhere, and all of a sudden it got announced, hey, it's Lane Riggs Day now. I was like, okay, I guess I can accept that. So it was pretty neat to do that. Super thankful to all my hometown support, family, friends, and pretty awesome to be recognized by, such a large, city. And glad that I got a lot of supporters in that area. So it was really neat to have that. It's a day we definitely celebrate every year. From here on out, no matter how long it lasts in the books, really cool to remember our accomplishments that we did.
I love it. Crunchy.
So do you get recognized everywhere when you go back home then, basically?
It depends. If you go downtown Durham, probably not. But if you hit Bahama County, which is where I live, Bahama, the small town of Bahama, the one you blink when you drive by and you miss. Probably. So it's really good. Like I said, the support from all the hometown people. Dad grew up in that area, lived there and still lives there to today and never moved away. So there's a lot of Riggs fans, Scott Riggs fans and Lynn Riggs fans that reside in Bahama.
So I'm curious, and this is kind of going back to like, you getting started in racing. Obviously your dad being a, former racer probably plays a part in it, but what else has a kid kind of got you into, into motorsports, if anything?
Yeah, I think just from the very start, obviously being around it my whole life, it's always been something. And, it's funny when I tell the story a lot, when I was younger, I thought everybody's dad drove race cars, right? We get to go to Daytona and be on the front stretch for the 500 and the planes fly over. And I'm like, well, this is boring. I guess every other kid's got to deal with the same crap, right? And then you get older and you start to look back, you're like, man, that was really cool. And I didn't even realize it just because, you grew up in it, you're used to it, you think nothing of it. So it was kind of at that time that he was getting out of the sport, and I really didn't care anything about it at the time. But when he was getting out, I was getting interested in it. And, we tried baseball, soccer, golf, any form of stick and ball sports that is, pretty normal to do. We tried it all, and the first thing that got me that I couldn't get away from was that first go-kart and dirt bike. If it had a motor on it, it was hard to turn away from it. So I think that was just naturally. Dad didn't – he never pushed me to drive. Sure. He actually tried to steer me away from it because he knew how tough it was and the hardships and how much it takes away from your life to do it. He tried to push me the other direction all he could, and I just kept going back to it. He's like, well, I can't – if you really want to do it, then we're going to do it. We're going to – gonna do it right. So it's super thankful for him and all he's done to get me to where I'm at. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else.
Is there like one piece of advice that you can remember that your dad's given you at some point over the last couple of years that's kind of like, you'd paint it on your wall or have it on a t-shirt that's like something you'll always remember no matter where you're at in your racing career?
I think it's just a lot of things culminated together, but the biggest thing, he helps me with isn't the driving itself. He's like, you got that. You can do that. He's like, the biggest part we need to focus on is just the mental toughness. And that's anybody, any sport, any time, being mentally tough, understanding it's a long season. He says it all the time. Don't let the highs get you too high and don't let the lows get you too low, because there's a lot more lows in racing than there is highs. And there, if there is a high, it's a short burst because you got next week that you could be knocked right back down to step one. So it's like, keep your confidence up. If you run bad, if you run good, stay level-headed and just be the same all the time, the best person you can be. And I think that's just one thing that I need to, it's tough. I mean, even when you think about it, I got confidence in myself, my team. It's still tough when you have a tough weekend to like still be as hype and excited and ready to go as always. It kind of knocks you down. So I think it's just having that mental toughness. Some of the best athletes in the world, basketball, football, whatever it is, the best and the ones that were the most successful were definitely the most mentally tough. Look at Jimmy Johnson. He was the same all the time, no matter what. And I think he's probably one of the most successful person in this sport.
What's up, guys? I wanted to introduce you to the newest sponsor of the show here, and that would be Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to get in on all of the action across all of the sports, including motorsports. Again, Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or least favorite driver stats, and you can win up 20 times your money in a single night. So, example, let's say you are really not a Brad Keselowski fan, so the pick is going to be higher or lower than finishing in seventh place. So you're going to click that lower button and off you're running for the day to see if you can win some money. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. All you need to do, pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em entry. You get everything right, and you're going to take home some serious cold hard cash. Use promo code PPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $500 by Underdog. A little bit more on why I think Underdog is such an awesome website to use. First off, their website is easy to use, and so is their app. There are no waivers, trades, or lineup setting. There's nothing to worry about other than setting a couple guys in your picks. Underdog lets you draft a fantasy team in just a couple minutes. Again, please use promo code PPN for Pit Pass NASCAR, and they'll double your deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. You deposit $100, you're getting $100 free. So join now, and we'll start having a Underdog Fantasy segment in each and every episode going forward after this week.
So I guess I kind of have a question about growing up being a racer's son. I feel like it's got to help in some ways, but does it also kind of place expectations on you growing up a bit that you have to live up to, you know, with your dad's success? And especially, just looking at his record, like the Nationwide Series. And I remember him actually in Cup, kind of watching as a little kid in the 10 car.
Yeah, it was, you know, early on you thought about it like, oh, dad did this and that. And it's like, but you know what? I'm my own person. I'm going to do all I can do. It's great to have somebody like him that was so successful to guide me along. But I'm not going to put any pressure on myself to do that. You know, I want to go out here and do this for myself. I want to go win and be successful for me, not because I want to live up to the Riggs name as much. You know, of course, I want to do both of them, and that goes hand in hand. But I want to go win for me and my people. So it's been something that definitely people have asked me that same question. I'd say the same thing every time. It's something that it motivates me to do it, but not any pressure to be any different than what I am.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. So you are full-time in trucks this year with Front Row Motorsports. You've had a decent start to the year. You had a good top 10 finish two weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. You know, are you putting more kind of, speaking of pressure again, more pressure on yourself now that you have a full-time ride this year to kind of show, hey, this is what I've earned. I think it's even a multi-year deal if I remember correctly from when I was reading earlier. So how has the start of the year been so far overall?
Yeah, just before the year even started, it's talking about the pressure versus, you know, to be successful. I feel more relaxed than I ever have been behind the wheel, you know, especially the past year or two before I got the deal. Every race I was on the racetrack, I'm driving for my career. Yeah. I have to do good. You know, I get a one-time opportunity with the team. Like, you know, last year, I got an opportunity to drive the Spire number 7 truck for that one race. My career is on the line right here if I do good or not. You know, and if I wasn't successful and if I didn't finish third and had a great day like I did or made a mistake, there's a great possibility that I wouldn't have even gotten what I got now. Now, signing a multi-year deal, which I've never had a deal ever before that's more than one or two races, it's like, the pressure's lifted. I'm out here. I can be myself. I can just race to race and just do the best I can. My career's not on the line every time I go on the racetrack. We have, like we said, multiple years to build on. So it's been a big relief. And, you know, this year I would say that, you know, our success and stats are not anywhere near what we were expecting to be. We've had a really tough season, getting wrecked out of races multiple times, parts failure like this past weekend when we were running second. It's like I said, the highs are highs and the lows are lows, just keeping level headed through these situations. You know, it's basically an all new team, new crew chief. Everybody that's on our team is in a new position they've never been in before. Basically, everybody got promoted one spot. So everybody's been trying to get used to their job, new driver. it's been tough, and I think that we were persevering through it. We're showing that we're getting better. Obviously, we had more speed this weekend in a road course than we've had all year, and I think that's just going to happen more and more. Every race we go to, we're going to be even stronger.
Yeah, I was going to say you've got Martinsville coming up, and I feel like you perform really well on short track. So are you kind of ready? Or that's coming up, I guess, 2 weeks from now. You got a weekend off, right? But so are you looking forward to that? Kind of just put another top 10 or something up on the results sheet?
Yeah, for sure. I love short track racing. It's something that just comes natural to me. I don't feel like I have to work as hard at it to be as good. I've been successful every time I've gone to Martinsville and the Xfinity car and
Yeah.
late models and everything else. And it's technically my home track we go to. So super excited to get there. Glad to see all the Riggs fans from Bahama come out and watch. And we've been working hard at it to run well. We know we got good trucks, and I'm behind the wheel, and we can do a good job. Just gotta have. You got to be really good, and you got to be really lucky to win races. And we've been good at times, and we've had no luck, and then we've also had good luck and just not been good. So it's like we haven't hit both of them correctly yet this year. I'm excited to get there. I think it'll be somewhere that will come natural to us, and we'll do well. They have good notes. They've run well with Zane in the past, and yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good time. No pressure. Just go out there and race and have a good time. And usually when you have that mindset of just racing and having a good time, the success and stats usually come with it.
So I'm going to go totally off topic here. We have a Spotify playlist for each of our guests to add a song, whether it's something you listen to, potentially before a race or at the gym, or you're just really digging right now. What would you like to add to the guest playlist?
Oh, that's a tough one. I've been bouncing around. I was on my kind of like early 2000s dad rock, Creed, Three Doors Down, stuff like that. I love that stuff. Now I've been listening to a lot of country the past couple of weeks. Jason Aldean, I've been listening to him a lot. He's pretty solid. I don't know. Probably a Creed song.
You
That's
would be the
a
second
solid pick.
Creed addition in like nine songs on the playlist.
Yeah. I don't know which one exactly. Yeah, a Creed song, whatever it
Okay.
is.
All right.
Something
I'll just pick
solid.
one at random out of their top five on Spotify here.
Exactly. It's been around for 25 years, still listening to it, so it's got to be good, right?
I it makes me feel really old when people call it dad rock, because that was like
Yeah.
prime rock when I was, 15 or 16 years old, was the early 2000s. And like yesterday they were like, oh, the second Linkin Park album's 21 years old. I'm like, I literally remember my friends being in my friend's room on LimeWire downloading that around the corner. But anyway, go ahead, Frenchie.
That's funny.
Didn't Creed sponsor Jimmy Johnson for the 500?
They did. They were at Daytona too. I wanted to meet them so bad. They were gone though.
So speaking of that, I guess, have you, I mean, so far, and also just, I guess, being at the track with your dad, maybe growing up some, who's the coolest person you remember meeting? Like you were a little starstruck by, or is that, like you said a little bit, maybe it was too normal for you growing up that you weren't starstruck by people?
Yeah, back then it wasn't anything, but I do have like this young like vision that I remember, and it was me, Dad, Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, Jimmy, all the Hendrick guys back in their prime. Casey Kane was standing there when he was teammates with Dad. There's a couple other ones, like I didn't think anything of it. Now I'm like looking back, I'm like, there's people that would kill to be standing there talking to them. And I could have cared less.
Royalty, yeah.
Yeah, I remember it was like behind the stage before driver intros. That's when all the drivers get together and talk and have their little shebang about the weekend. And I he'd always bring me to walk across the stage. So pretty cool memories like that for sure.
Yeah, I know, Lane, you don't know this, but everybody listening's probably heard it. My dad used to work part-time on the IndyCar side, like in as a before timing and scoring was computerized. And so I was at Nathra Speedway 1 year. I don't know, I was probably six. And I shook AJ Foyt's hand. And I remember, like, everybody listening won't see this, but he like grabbed my thumb instead of like a regular handshake. And at the time I was like, this guy's weird. Like, this is really weird experience. And now, like, I'm looking at like old racetrack pictures last weekend when I visited my parents. I'm like, shit, like that was an opportunity, like, that not a lot of people get, especially when they're 6 years old or 7 years old, however old I was, and I didn't enjoy it, or I guess I appreciate it as much. But Let's see. I got two more questions here. One's kind of a hypothetical. You've got obviously plenty of races left in the year. If you were to, let's have some fun here and say you're going to win a race this year and you get to pick what racetrack you win at. Are we going something hometown related, or are we going something that's just one of your favorite tracks that you're going to be at this year?
Man, I want to win at Wilkesboro. That'd
Okay.
be pretty cool.
Yeah.
The Wilkesboro race, the new asphalt. I know the stands are going to be completely packed out. That'd be really cool.
I dig it.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the World of Outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.
So I guess I wanted to ask if growing up, I mean, I feel like racers tend to spend some money on cars. Did you guys kind of have cars in the garage that your dad was working on, like road cars, or are you guys as a family into that?
He does a little bit. He's got a couple older stuff. We got a 1948 Pontiac, which is really bad to the bone. My grandpa, my dad's dad, he grew up and has done paint and body his whole life, and has always been a hot rod guy, drag racer kind of guy, and he still works on his hot rods. He's got a 1950 Chevrolet Rat Rod truck, and he's got a 72 Vega drag car and stuff like that. He's always been kind of a streetcar gearhead, hot rod type of guy. But for me, I could care less. I think it's more about race cars. And it was always, before I even got racing, I was like, oh, I want this type, I want a street car. And this dad's like, do you want a race car or do you want a street car? Because you got to choose. So I drove his old hand-me-down car forever. I was always the one in the school parking lot with the oldest car. And, it's like, hey, I could care less about what I drive on the street as long as I get to drive the fast thing on the weekends.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, I got one more, and I'm just curious. I know you did a couple Xfinity races last year. Last year
That's
for
your
calling. Is there any plans to do that in at some point in 2024, or discussions at least to do it at some point in the near future?
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that yet. I think that for sure, I would be open to do some if we had an opportunity. If Stewart Haas had another car, it's got to be a Ford no matter what. To kind of slims down your options no matter what. But if an opportunity arose and there was a weekend that it was a doubleheader somewhere, maybe a short track somewhere that I would, or even if I got a chance to do a road course race again, I need as much road course experience possible. Yeah, I would for sure do it. But we're definitely not working towards it right now. We got bigger fish to fry and trying to get this 38 truck up front every weekend at the moment. But yeah, I'm still doing some late model races from Kevin Harvick's his late model crew.
Nice.
Think 3 weeks from now, 3 or 4 weeks from now, I got another race coming up with them to run the late models. Anything I can get my hands on the off weekends because the truck has a lot of them. We're definitely going to either be running a late model race somewhere. Or I said something about wanting to do a Trans Am race after COTA this weekend. I realized how
Awesome.
fun road course racing was. I haven't worked towards it at all, but I say, hey, I kind of want to have, start having talks about doing that. That'd be really fun to do and try. So, yeah, I want to stay on the racetrack. I want to race every weekend if I could.
I guess I was just going to finish by asking you. I mean, you had no road course experience really, and you just said you had fun with it. Did it just come really naturally? Were you kind of surprised yourself at how well you were doing up until obviously you guys had the electrical issue?
I was very surprised. I mean, it. I we've been working at it forever. It feels like the first ever time I got in the simulator at Ford, it was in December, like right after our deal got done. Day one, we ran COTA, trying to get better at it. Because I mean, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I look back, I picked up, I think, 6 seconds at COTA, like
Wow.
from December to now, and I did iRacing and everything else. I ran a lot of it. Like I really worked hard to do good at the road courses. One, I've never done it. I know it's gonna be tough for me. Two, Front Row was undefeated at COTA for 3 years straight. There was a little bit of pressure there to run well, and I wanted to do it. And I was kind of leading up to the race. I'm like, oh, I don't know how we're gonna do. Your confidence wasn't quite there. And then we got to the track, and it's like, wow, this was way easier than I thought it was gonna be. This is fun. Jumping the curb, shifting. I did all the prep work thinking of how tough and how brutal it's going to be. And then I got there and did it. And I'm like, wow, that was actually enjoyable. And I want to do more of it. So that's what was such a bummer after this weekend was like, man, I was really having a good time. I showed that I did my homework, was running up front. I did everything right. And it's like, man, it just got taken from me. It's that luck thing we're talking about. So
Unfinished
just
business.
need to have the luck for sure. I'm definitely, hopefully, we can go back there. I really hate that we're not going to Mid-Ohio this year or another road course. You got to have every team has to have two road course trucks and you only get to ran once, be ran once a season. So it's a tough pill to swallow, but I definitely would like to do some more.
Nice. Well, sir, I appreciate the time this afternoon, and we'll let you get back to whatever you need to do, and best of luck this year, man. Hopefully we can see some we can see that first win at North Wilkesboro in a couple weeks or so. I know it's or a couple
Yeah,
months from now.
it's
It's not too far
yep.
away.
Couple months from now. So we got a little bit of prep time, but yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Appreciate you guys. Nice to meet y'all and
You as
sorry for
well.
the delay getting on. I'm glad we got to talk and looking forward to seeing it, man.
Yeah,
Yeah,
man. Thanks
appreciate your
very
time.
much.
Yeah, thank y'all. Have a good day.
You too.
You too. See you guys.